tell you, do me this favor. Come back tonight with the same spirit to worship God. Isn't that right? And just come back with the same spirit. We don't need dead, organized worship. Amen. And we need God in this hour. And we really need His presence. And, you know, I'll just say this and I'm going to move right into the message. If you and I will just come to church and always have this attitude that I'm going to worship God on purpose. I am going to worship God in the singing. I'm going to worship God when a testimony, when He speaks to my heart. And if you'll just discern that, don't do it just to be, don't just testify to be testifying. Amen. Don't get up and complain. Can I get, and you don't do that. Thank God. Say, preacher, why do you say that? Because it kills the service. Isn't that right? And nobody does this. And thank God, don't get up and talk about yourself. Amen. Just get up and talk about Jesus. Get up to tell something you read in the Word of God. It'll help you. And I'm glad nobody doesn't really do that here. And if you do that, He'll always be glorified. But you got to come to church and worship God on purpose, not on accident, and He'll bless you. I want to preach a few moments from Ruth chapter number 1, if you'll stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord, I'm just going to tell you where I'm at. Sometimes this morning God gave me this message, and the devil plays on your mind. And I was writing this sermon out this morning just fast as I could, and I'm assuming it's the devil, because the thought came to me, oh, you've done preached this here. I don't know if I've preached this thought or not, but it doesn't make no difference. Amen. If I did, guess what? I don't remember it. And if I don't remember it, chances are you sure don't remember it. Amen. And so I pray. But I'm preaching this morning this message simply because I know the Holy Spirit dealt with me that God is wanting to speak to somebody in particular. I don't know who that is, but He does this morning. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Epaphrodites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, God, that You would speak to hearts. I know this is a totally different direction as to what this service was going. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the presence of God. And Lord, the spirit of worship that's already been here. And I pray now that we'll worship around the Word of God, speak to hearts, minister to souls, save the lost, and reclaim the backslid. And Lord, I pray that You'll do what needs to be done. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice in this text here, verse number 1, just several things I'll mention very quickly, and then I'll give you the thought. The Bible in verse number 1 here mentions the timing of this text. As the Bible says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. And the Bible said that that was a day and time when every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and God would raise up judges. And we won't elaborate the thought, but you know Israel would go into idolatry. It would lead to bondage, and God would raise a judge up and would deliver them, and they would have a revival, so to speak, for some time, and then they would repeat that cycle again and again. And that is the timing of this text. And then we see the trouble in this text. The Bible said that there was a famine in the land. Now God, when He sent famines in the Bible, and even so today, they was a tool of judgment. So when you think about the trouble in verse number 1 here, this is not something that just happened by chance or circumstance, but God is bringing judgment to Bethlehem, Judea. He is judging His people. The Bible said that judgment must begin at the house of God. And so there is the timing, and then there is the trouble, and then there's the towns that are mentioned here. The Bible talks about Bethlehem, Judah, and then it mentions Moab. And these towns are important because Bethlehem is known as the house of bread. Isn't that right? And we know that Moab, God said in Psalms chapter 90, God said, Moab is my wash pot. A wash pot is where you put dirty things. Amen. And my friend, it's where you clean them up. And those dirty things produce dirty water. Amen. And so that's what Moab is. It's a representation of filth. It is God's place where that He judges. And so we see here.
here of the towns. And then there's these travelers that are mentioned here. The Bible said in verse number 1 that there was a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, that went to journey in the country of Moab. Notice this, he and his wife and his two sons. So here we have a family of four that is leaving the house of bread and they're going down to God's wash pot, to Moab. Now I want to preach a few minutes this morning on this subject, on the family that strays together pays together. Amen. The family that strays together pays together. You say, Brother Gravely, you got that saying wrong. It's the family that prays together stays together. Well, if we was talking about praying this morning, that would certainly be true. Amen. But we're not talking about a family that was praying together. We're talking about a family that was straying together. We're talking about a family that got out of the will of God, a family that left a good place. They left the house of bread because hard times came and they set out on their own and they disobeyed God and they strayed together. And the end result in our text is that they paid together. Amen. Now I know fully this morning why God put this message on my heart. And I'll tell you why I believe with all of my heart this morning that sitting here in this congregation, I don't know who, if I did, you know what I would do? I'd come talk to you personally after the service because I love you that much and care about you. But I know this morning that God spoke to me when we pulled up here on these premises about this thought. No doubt because in this congregation there is perhaps some dad or there's some mom sitting here this morning. And you're thinking about going out, stepping out, and going in a different direction. Amen. I'm just going to tell you this morning, there's no doubt that this message would help every one of us. It would serve as a warning to all. But it is in particular to somebody this morning, my friend, that is wanting to go. It's already in your heart to go in a different direction. I want to say this morning, I want us to look at five things I never normally tell you, but I'm going to tell you this morning five simple things here in this text. I want you to notice, first of all, the famine in verse number 1. And let's consider the place of this famine. The Bible said that came to pass in the days of when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and it was in Bethlehem, Judah. Now, we've already established that Bethlehem is the house of bread. And spiritually, this is where God visits his people. Spiritually, this is where God blesses his people. But now the house of bread has become a place where there is a famine. And what about the purpose of that famine? The purpose of that famine, as we mentioned, is judgment. God is bringing judgment on his people. And what's the principle of that famine? I'll tell you what the principle is that when hard times come in good places, you and I are not supposed to go somewhere else. Amen. You see, your family's a good place, and sometimes hard times comes in your family. Your church is a good place, and sometimes hard times comes in your church. Sometimes God judges the family. Sometimes God judges the church. I've seen God purge his church down through the years, and many of you have too, and it's a painful experience whenever God purges the church. But you know what I do and what many of you do when God purges the church? I'll tell you what we do. We stay put. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, others have left down through the years, and they thought when they left other people would leave, and perhaps maybe one or two did. But I'm not going because somebody else is going. Amen. I'm telling you, if somebody was to walk up to me this morning and say, Brother Gravely, I believe I'm going somewhere else, well, I hate it for you. I wish you wouldn't leave. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you leave, I'm staying put, aren't you? I don't care if it's family. I don't care if it's friends. I don't care how many years you've been here. I wish you'd stay here and finish your course. But I'm telling you, friend, I'm not following a personality. Can I get a witness on that? I love my children, and they feel the same way as we do. I love my son-in-laws, and they feel the same way as we do. We're thankful we can go to church as a family. but God calls them, and there's no telling where they may wind up one day. Listen, we may none of us be in church together, but I'm not following family members. I'm not following friends. You say, I got a good friend, and they got mad and left the church. Well, that doesn't mean you go. Amen. I'm just here to tell you this morning, the principle is, you don't leave a good place when hard times come. Hallelujah. Now, some people just get along for the ride, don't they? Boy, when the church is doing good, they're flying high. But when lean times come, instead of buckling down and staying where God put them, they just follow the crowd. I don't think we got anybody like here back right now, but it's happened down through the years. I tell you, people will come in the church and they'll think Bible Baptist Church is the best thing since, you know, apple butter and sliced bread. Amen. I'm telling you, they can't talk enough about how good this church is, and they're getting raptured out just about every service, you know. But you know, after it kind of calms down a little bit, then you find out what they're really made of. Amen. I'm telling you, with heart, oh, they like it when you're preaching those shouting sermons. But when you preach on sin, then you find out, amen, they like the singing. And listen, sometimes they like the preaching, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting the t-shirt and saying, I've been there and done that. You know what I'm saying? That's why I don't jump on a bandwagon with everything and everybody that comes through. Can I get an amen right there? I've learned down through the years, if I hadn't learned anything else, everything that glitters isn't gold. And some people come in with sugar running out both sides of their mouth and a personality that doesn't quit. And friend, they got all kinds of charisma. Just sit back, be kind, love them, and just wait and see. Some of y'all look at me like you're pale right now, and all that does is make me want to preach a little bit more. I'm telling you this morning, we are living in that day, friend, when people don't have a lot of discernment as a whole, and they'll just about swallow anything you'll put in their mouth if it's sweet enough. Amen. I'm just telling you this morning, you may not understand what I'm saying now, but you just hold on. You don't leave good places because hard times come. I've had people down through the years say to me, well, I thought about leaving. You know what I say to that? Well, I thought about it too, but guess what? I've not left, amen. You think it's all been peaches and creams down through the years? You think everything's always just been hunky-dory? Oh, no. But I'll tell you why I'm here this morning. Because it's where God put me, amen. It's the will of God. You can't do nothing for God jumping from place to place, going from here to there to yonder. You're going to have to nail your bootstraps down, and you're going to have to stay somewhere if you're going to do anything for God, amen. I'm talking about the famine, amen. The place, the purpose, the principle, and even in your family. As a wife, you don't leave your husband because things get hard. And as a husband, you don't leave your wife because things get hard. You don't leave because maybe they don't look as attractive to you as what they did years ago. If that's your attitude, you need to pray and you need to fall back in love with your spouse again. Amen. And the only way you're going to do that is have your heart right with God. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, there's a lot of people, they leave their home when the pressure gets cranked up. They leave their home when the bills start rolling in. They leave their home when the children start being born. And everything's not just the way it was when they started out. Let me tell you something about that. It's not going to be the way it was when you started out, but if you'll hold on and if you'll stay right with God, I'll tell you what it will be. It'll be better each day. It'll be better each year because your love for each other will grow stronger as you grow older than it was when you first started. Amen. Is that right this morning? I'm talking about the famine. Secondly, notice the family this morning. Their names are mentioned in verse number 2. And the name of the man was Elimelech. And the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his son, of his two sons, was Mahlon and Chilion. And when we think about these people's names here, Elimelech means my God is king. Naomi means pleasant. Mahlon means sickly. Chilion means, it means pining or wasting away. And Orpah is later mentioned. She means a fawn. And Ruth means friendship. And so their names represent something. But these names in verse number 2 but represent something as well. Listen, when we think about this family here, we think about a family that was close, isn't that right? I mean, this family was close because they left together, amen? And we think about this family, they were changed. Hey, look at me this morning. The decision that Elimelech made and the decision that Naomi made, it affected their children. Why don't people think about that when they leave God's will? Why don't they think about, you say, well, my kids don't want to go here no more. It's not about what your kids want. It's about what they need. Well, my son wants to do certain things, and preacher, I just know you're going to preach on them. That's right. I was preaching on them before you got here, and I'm going to preach on them if you leave. I preached on them when my children was coming up. I'll preach on them while my grandchildren come up, because it's right. No matter how worldly this church world gets, we still need to draw a clear line in the sand as to where we stand. Can I get an amen on that right there? Don't die on me this morning. I'm telling you this morning, hey, we're in real trouble in this country. And brother, there's a lot of family. And the reason our churches are in trouble is because our homes are in trouble. And what happens in this text here is this husband makes a decision to get out of the will of God and go down to Moab because that's what they wanted to do. And the end result is he dies and his two sons die. Now you listen to me this morning. There's a list as long as my arm this morning of people that used to come to this church down through the years and they got out of the will of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Their family is either not together or a total disaster this morning. Their children, many of them are lost and going to hell. And many of them, listen, are out in sin. And mom and dad is to blame because the change that took place in their life was based on the decision that mom or that dad made. A lady looked at me one time when they told me they were leaving. I said, it's not God's will. She said, oh, Brother Gravely, you think the only place anybody can go to church is Bible Baptist Church. I said, that's exactly right for both of y'all. Hear how quiet it is in here right now? I still believe that. I still believe every bit of that. God didn't send you here to stay here 5 years or 8 years or 9 years and then send you across town. You say, how do you know that? Because our doctrine hadn't changed. Amen. I'm not disqualified this morning. Amen. Listen, the only reason to leave a church is either distance or death or doctrine. Amen. If you die, we don't want you back the next service. Amen. We'll see you on the other side. If the church dies, amen, I can understand that. If our doctrine, we're not Calvinists this morning, can I get a witness on that? I'm just trying to help you this morning to help your children, amen. You see, a lot of times when people come, their children are real small. But when they start getting to be teenagers and when they start getting late teens or early adult age, then the pressure gets on them parents and all of a sudden, you know what? They don't believe what they used to believe. They don't say amen to the things they used to say amen. I remind you, I'm still preaching the same thing today I was preaching 10 years ago. I was preaching 15 years ago. And if you said amen to it then, you ought to still say amen to it this morning. I'll tell you, listen, what you're going to have to do is tote the line. You're going to have to hold the line. The pressure's on you, but it's on your children, amen. And sometimes you're going to have to look that young man or that young lady in the face and say, we're not going that way, and we're not doing those things. And the man of God's right, and the word of God is right, and we're going to stay with it. I'm not being ugly, but I've just come to a place in ministry where I just don't give a good glory rip anymore. Amen. It can be a house full or a handful. I want to finish this thing right by the grace of God. I don't know who's going to be here in the end, but I hope you'll stay with it for your own sake, for your family's sake. Amen. You may get mad and do like a lot of others and go off and blame the church or blame the preacher or blame the preacher's wife or somebody else in the church. But I'm here to tell you, time will always tell the story. It tells. Let them go say what they want to. We'll just sit back and wait. Look at them and look at us. Preacher, are you saying you're better than them? Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you this morning, we are far better off than those that have went out there. Y'all believe that this morning?
So you ought to take note of it. That person, that lady that said that to me, they're divorced this morning. Her daughter's a sodomite. And her son's never been saved. Now they're grown now. You hearing what I'm saying? I'm just telling you this morning, the family that strays together, they pay together. Brother, I am telling you the biggest fear I have this morning is I do not want to get out of God's will. I want to be, I've not always done everything I'm supposed to do. I've tried and I have failed. And I'm going to get up tomorrow. If we live, I'm going to try tomorrow. And I'm trying today the best I can. I'm going to get up tomorrow and try. And the next day I'm going to try. But I'm telling you, I'm talking about the big picture this morning. I have a fear. I do not want to get out of God's will, because I've seen too many people down through the years, what's happened to their lives and their homes. I mean, I'm telling you, preachers, as much as I have people, I'm just saying to you this morning, the principle is you don't go somewheres because hard times come. What Elimelech should have done was got right with God. And what you need to do this morning is get right with God. You may not want to get right with God, but if you don't, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It's just going to keep on turning around in your heart long enough until you just turn me off, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to go out and get your way. You're going to get what you want, but it's going to cost you everything. Just read the rest of this chapter. This family got exactly what they wanted. They started out with high expectations, but in the end, they lost everything that they had. And that's the end story of every person. Amen. And when I think about this family, I think about the change, amen, that was made because of mom and dads. I wonder how many mom and dads will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for children that went to hell because they got out of a good old-fashioned church. Amen. I wonder how many couples, amen, will stand there and listen, they won't no longer be together, married in the eyes of God but not in the eyes of the court, because they got out of the will of God. And some of them wants that, by the way. Amen. You know, some of them got long-term plans, Brother Craig. And they know they can't stay in that old-fashioned church. If that man's got his eye on another woman, or he's just got a figment of in his imagination of some perfect wife or some little hot tamale that he's interested in. Hey, man, I'll say what I have. I want to wake a few of y'all up this morning. And he gets it in his eye. He gets this in his mind. Well, I can't leave her here. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll find a reason to get out. Maybe somebody down on the job got y'all. I'll get out of that church, and we'll have to work this out one thing at a time. Had a couple come here. They wasn't a couple. Let me just establish that. A woman started coming to this church, wanted to join a church, and I'll tell you, God wouldn't give me an ounce of peace. I told my wife, I said, I ain't got no peace about her joining this church. And she wanted to talk, and I kept putting it off. Finally, she said, I want to talk to y'all about joining this church. And so we sat down, me and Miss Gravely sat down with her right over there. And when she started talking, started telling some things, I said, where's your husband at? And I knew her husband. She started into some details, and I said, stop right there. I said, I know you, pastor. I said, you need to go talk to your pastor. I said, but you're not joining this church. And next Sunday, another man been visiting this church, come up to me, and he was going to rescue her. And I'll just tell you what I told him. I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. I said, you can go find you another church, and she can go find her another church. But I said, I'll tell you what you're not going to do. I said, you ain't leaving your wife, and she ain't leaving her husband, and y'all coming here and acting like it was the will of God for y'all to be here. I said, we ain't doing that. I say amen 1,000 times. I don't care if it hair lips all of hell this morning. I'm telling you, God would never sanction that. He would never put his approval on that. And I'm telling you, that may not be kosher in a lot of places this morning. But I'm telling you, what we got here is precious, amen? And I'm for everybody joining this church. I want everybody to come to this church. Any sinner can come.
come. And I'll tell you, if somebody's looking for a church, my friend, I want them to come here. If they're looking for an old-fashioned church and they don't have one, but if they're looking for a mate, amen, they can just paddle their canoe on down a river somewhere else, because this ain't a dating site. Can I get a witness right there? You say, well, Brother Crabley, a good place to find someone is in the house of God. You let God send you somebody. But if you're on a hunt, you can hunt some other somewhere else. Don't be hunting in this territory. Isn't that right? Brother, I'm just telling you this morning, listen, there's we see the famine, we see the family, and then we see the funerals. Amen. You know why I preach this way? Because I don't want to preach funerals like this. Look at the men in verse 3 and 4. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And look at this in verse 4. And they, here's their mistake. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. Oh, but Ruth came out of that. I understand that. But they didn't obey God there. The Bible says, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. But the name of the one was Orpah and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Look at verse 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died. They stayed. I think about the men. I think about the meaning of these men. How come it was the men that died? I'm going to tell you why. Because the men are responsible. Brother, I want to tell you, to every man in this church, you're responsible to be a spiritual leader in your home. You're responsible to lead your family. You'll have to make the spiritual decisions as well as the financial decisions in your home. It's every man's responsibility to make sure that you tie to the local church. Can I get a witness on that this morning? He said, well, I just let my wife handle the bills. I ain't got no problem with you letting her write the checks out and pay the bills and balance that checkbook. But I tell you, as a spiritual leader of your home, you better make sure the tithes are getting paid. Amen. Now you say, why? Because you're the one going to be held responsible for not tithing at the judgment seat. Amen. You better make sure that y'all are faithful to Sunday school, because you're the one that's going to give an account for the Sunday school attendance in your family at the judgment seat. You better make sure, my friend, that you have the right standards and convictions in your home, and you don't let sin in your home. You don't let the wrong kind of music. You don't let hellish movies in your home. Amen. You say, why you say that? Because at the judgment seat, you're going to give an account for your home as well as your own life and what kind of home you have. You are responsible for it this morning. The problem with Elimelech was he let Naomi lead him around by the nose. She tells it later, God dealt bitter. The hand of the Lord was against her. She was a woman that wanted to have her way. She was a woman that wanted to leave Bethlehem, and she wanted, there's a lot of good men, let their wives lead them off into their own direction. A spiritual, you know, this is not an indictment against women. But God did not make women to withstand pressure like he did men. And sometimes when the pressure gets on, and when a woman, when that insecurity, or she is struggling, it's not because she's not spiritual always, and it's not because she the weaker vessel does not mean that she's less than the man. It means like a fine piece of china, amen? And you've got to take care of china, isn't that right? I'm not talking about the country neither when I say that. I'm talking about what's in your cabinet, amen? That's another sermon for another day. But I'm telling you, friend, you've got to take good care of that fine piece, because it could be easily broken, isn't that right? And it's precious. Listen, that's not what you eat on every day. It's beautiful, it's precious, and that's the way it is with a good wife, amen? But that man can endure more. He's supposed to endure more. He's supposed to be the one that takes the pressure off his wife. And when that wife feels a little bit of pressure and says, hey, we ought to go somewhere else, no, you hold the line, amen? When that wife is battling things and she loves those children. She brought them children into this world, went to the jaws of death to bring those children in this world, and one of them struggling spiritually, and she starts second guess some of those convictions or standards that's been taught down through the years. That's when you hold the line and you reassure that it's right. And if she's spiritual, she'll come around and she'll agree. But you don't buckle. You don't give her the responsibility that you're going to give an account for at the judgment seat one day. And I see here the misery.
Because Elimelech listened to his wife, they lived in misery for 10 years. She lived in misery for 10 years. Them boys lived in misery. I see the funerals, and then I want you to notice this morning, I want you to notice the folly. The Bible said in verse number 1 that they went to sojourn. Then the Bible says in verse number 2, notice the last part, they continued there. Then look at the last part of verse number 4. The Bible said they dwelled there about 10 years. You see the digression in this text. Them sojourning in verse number 1. Them staying in verse number 2. Them settling down in verse number 5. You say, what does that mean, preacher? It simply means this: sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you far more than you want to pay. And it'll keep you longer than what you want to stay. I'm telling you, don't get in your mind, well, we'll just slip off and we'll just see how things work out. We'll just see how things go. We're not going to stay out there. We're not going to do that very long. We're just in a little bit of a transition. You ever heard that? I'm going to tell you what will happen, friend. Most never come back. And those that do come back empty and broken, just like Naomi did in this same chapter. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying it was one of the most foolish decisions that they could ever make in their life. Because things got hard and because things got rough, they threw their spirituality out the window. They left everything God had ever done for them and told them they'd have been better off living in hard times, in a famine, in the house of bread, than living in prosperity down in Moab, because they lost what riches and money could never buy. It doesn't say she was totally broke, monetarily speaking, but I'll tell you one thing, she came home bankrupt. She didn't have anything spiritually. She was spiritually bankrupt. Are you willing to sell out everything good that God has ever done in your life just to get your own way? Amen. We just sung that song. When I look around and see all the good things He has done for me, I'll ask you a question this morning. Has God done some good things for you? Got your eyes on the world? What's the world done for you? They ain't done nothing for you. Got your eyes on something out there, you're lusting, the lust of the flesh. What's the flesh ever done for you? Nothing. Got big plans out there, if you could just get away from here, you're going to wind up like the rest of them. This morning, I'm telling you, the biggest mistake that Elimelech ever made was leaving the house of bread. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I've heard people down through the years, and many of you have too. One man came back to this church. I went to that man. Thank God he's serving the Lord now. Many of you know exactly who I'm talking about. Get down here in this altar with his five precious children and pray with them, and church prayed with them. And I remember standing there many times with tears in his eyes. And he'd say to me, he'd say, preacher, said, all I want is for my kids to live for God, to live for God. You know, you're here because of that man, aren't you? That man invited this family to this church. And you're here because of that man. He got out in sin. I was standing in a Cracker Barrel, and I know it was the Holy Ghost, because I'd have never the question I asked him, I would have never been so canon to ask anybody. And when I asked him the question, I thought surely the answer was no, but I could tell by the look on his face, the answer was yes. He didn't have to tell me a word. I begged that man for a week to get right with God. I said, let's make this right. Let's do this. Let's make this right. I watched a man that for 8 years in this church, he shouted, he testified, he loved God, and I believe he loves God today. He loved God. He loved me. I mean, a man that I just about, you'd think he'd take a bullet for you until sin got in his life. And when sin got in his life, a man that I thought would have just fought hell for me, all of a sudden became my enemy. or I became his enemy. And I begged him, I mean, many, many tears. I said, listen, I'm going to work with you, but you're going to have to make this right. And finally, standing right over there, I called him 4:30 one afternoon on Sunday evening. I said, please, please don't make me do this. Please come. Let's make this right. And I'll never forget, he said, you do whatever you got to do. And it wasn't 24 hours later. It wasn't 24. My phone rang 7 o'clock in the morning, and tragedy struck his home. He is weeping on the other end. Surprisingly to me, I thought when he's telling me, I'm weeping with him. I said, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. And I thought for sure he's going to get right with God. But he didn't, did he? And to make a long story short, 2 years later, I'm talking about a man that God had blessed. He lost literally everything and drove hundreds of miles to come to this church on a Sunday morning, slept in his car in East Ridge because he wanted to get right with God so bad, and come in front of this church and apologize to this church. I believe he got right with God. He got right with the church. Hugged my neck. I'm telling the preacher, I'm so sorry. I said, you don't owe me an apology. I said, but I'm sorry. Lost everything. Lost his job. Lost his children. Lost his home. He lost everything. You know why? Because he wouldn't listen to God's man. Thank God he's right this morning. Then there's the final end. Let me tell you how your life's going to end this morning. Let me tell you how it's all going to work out for you. Bad advice in verse 8. Naomi loses her husband. She loses her two boys. She ain't got a blood relative left in Moab. She gives terrible advice to those two daughter-in-laws. You know, when people get out of God's will, they give the worst advice. There's not an ounce of spirituality in what she says in verse 8. Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord, it sounds good, don't it? Deal kindly with you as you've dealt with me. But a little bit later on, she tells them to go back to their people and their gods, the false gods. When people are not right with God, I'm going to tell you something, they always give you bad advice. And I'm shocked at people that will run to people and seek advice from others. You know who we're to find, where we're to get our advice from, our counsel? Number one, the Word of God. If you're a young person, you take counsel from your parents. God put them in your life. You take counsel from your pastor, your pastor's wife. You say, well, we all think you know everything. No, by no means. But I'm going to tell you something. God put us here. And there's a lot of times all I can say to people is, you know what, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll pray with you. But I will tell you what God will do. I don't know everything. Neither does Miss Gravely. But when you're seeking an answer and you're seeking the Word of God and you're praying, you go to your pastor and your pastor's wife, here's what happens. God will at times, not all the time, but at times, we have a Bible to give you counsel from. And then at times God will give a pastor and his wife wisdom for the moment. It's not that we're wise, but it's that God will give that pastor wisdom or that preacher's wife wisdom to help you in that time. But she gives bad advice. Then the brokenness, look at verse 21. The bereavement, verse 14. They lifted up their voice and wept again. How's it going to end, preacher? With tears. The bitterness, look at verse 20. She said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty, she's talking about God, hath dealt very bitterly with me. You get out of God's will, he'll deal bitterly with you. It'll go from blessedness to bitterness. And then look at the brokenness. Look what Naomi says in verse 21. She said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again. Empty. I'm going to tell you tonight, or this morning, you get out of God's will. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. You stray. You pull that family out. You get out of God's will. You say, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm trying to warn you is what I'm trying to do this morning. You get out of God's will and you think God is going to bless you, you're a fool. When you get out of God's will, you get out of God's safety net. You open yourself up to the devil, the world, and everything else. You get out there and you get out of God's will, I'm going to tell you how it's going to end. With tears, with brokenness, with bitterness. And if you do come back, and I pray anybody that gets out, I pray they come back. But you're going to come back empty. You ever noticed when people get out of God's will, if they don't really get right with God, I'm talking about if they don't come in here and just come clean and just come clean with God. But if they don't really get right completely, let's say they get out. They get out there and sin. And then they come back, but they don't come all the way back. You know what I'm saying? You know what happens to them every time when they come back, but they don't come all the way back? This always happens, I'm going to tell you. They always make this statement. Well, I went back, but people just didn't treat me the same. You ever heard that? I went back down there to Bible. I used to go down there and I used to sing and I used to be in something. Boy, I tell you, and everybody, but you know, I got out and I made my mistakes and I got out and sinned. I'll just be honest with you. People wasn't real friendly to me. That's a lie. That's a lie. You know why they feel that way? Because they didn't come all the way back. See, when you don't go all the way back, you're still not right with God. And they come back and I'm going to tell you another reason why they feel that way. Because sin, it has two things that comes with it. Even though you get right with God, you hear me this morning, there's two things that always comes with sin, even if you do get right with God. I'm going to tell you what they are. Number one, it's shame. Is that right this morning? God forbid. If I was to cheat on my wife this morning, Brother Brian, and God whipped me, and I came back to this church, and I got right with God, and I got up and I apologized to y'all, and you forgave me. There's two things that'll follow me the rest of my life. Shame will always be there. It'll be my companion. Oh, preacher, is there not mercy? Is there not grace? Is there not forgiveness? Sure there is. But there'll always be shame. Always. And I'll tell you the second thing is consequences. Consequences. See, I come back and get right with God. Y'all be the hardest crowd for me to face outside my own family, my wife and children. If she is to ever be so merciful to even think about taking me back, it'd be, I don't know that I could face you. That's where we're at, isn't it? And Brother Laddie, I believe you love me. I believe you'd do anything for me within reason. But there's one thing, I could never be here again, isn't that right? I could never be the pastor of this church. No matter how much he loves me, Brother Danny, I believe you love me this morning. I believe you'd do anything for me. But you couldn't let me be the pastor no more. If I tried to be the pastor of this church, if these men did what they're supposed to do, they'd have to stand up, take a stand. You say, why is that? Don't we love Brother Gravely? Oh, we do, but there's consequences. I'm going to tell you, young people, you think about that this morning. You think about it. You think about it this morning. There's consequences. There's shame. Have you ever heard young people leave this church and come back and say, well, young people don't treat me right? And I hope you do, and I believe you do. It's the consequences. It's the shame. We're going to love them. We're going to treat them right. But you're going to have to think about that. Why you got a clean slate? You better live for God. Let's stand this morning. I know I've preached long, but I tell you, I feel so burdened. I don't know anything, hadn't heard anything. As far as I know, everybody's here rooted and planted to stay for as long as till Jesus comes. But I just know When I pulled up this morning, the Holy Ghost said, you preach this sermon. You preach it. Because there is somebody here that needs it. And he knows why we sing.